We aren't dealing with ordinary movie podcasts here. These are highly complicated pieces of zombie takeout, almost as complicated as professional shows.
Hello and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
Hello, I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got some news, Star Wars news actually. Three new movies confirmed at Celebration, including Daisy Ridley's return as Rey. Three new Star Wars films were confirmed at the Lucasfilm panel. Titles won't be coming for a while yet, but we do have info. The films announced are set to be directed by none other than Logan and Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny filmmaker James Mangold. Logan is good
is
from what I heard.
Is that a purpose reference to Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny?
I think there's a lot of the something of something in fiction. So I think D was the one joking. Mandalorian co-creator and longtime Padawan Lucas himself, Dave Filoni, and Sharmeen Obaid Chinoy, apologies for if I mispronounced, who previously helmed Ms. Marvel and is a renowned documentarian. For Mangold's film, he's going back to the beginning, exploring the first Jedi to wield the Force. It goes back to the earliest parts of the newly updated set of Star Wars eras, the Dawn of the Jedi.
It sounds insane, honestly. Out of all the three of them, it's kind of like, wow, okay, we're just primordial ooze, you know.
That's the one I want to see. I want to see the first Jedi. I'm a lore fanatic. Meanwhile, back in the middle of the long-established Skywalker saga, Filoni will direct a big-screen adventure tying into The Mandalorian, a cinematic event that tells a vital part of the escalating war between the Imperial Remnant and the New Republic. It'll continue to flesh out the time between Jedi and Force Awakens, although it's currently unknown whether it'll mark a final chapter in the wider Mandoverse story, or whether Filoni and Favreau's epic yarn will continue beyond the big screen tale.
Well, I think it has to end somewhere, doesn't it? I mean,
well, it has to end. My speculation is it's going to end after next season.
It's like Ahsoka and Mando kind of. I'm sure the movie would probably tie both shows up in the end.
I think Mando's probably going to end after the next season. I just see them taking back Mandalore next season.
Yeah.
I didn't see tonight's, but I suspect Gideon's going to be taken out.
Saying a word.
I suspect Gideon, if he's still alive, will be taken out next week. And then the final season will be about Bo versus the armor.
Man, you really should have watched the episode today.
Okay. That's why I prefaced by saying I didn't see it. But we'll see how wrong I am about that.
Yeah.
I do want to see Bo versus the Armorer, because there's speculation about the Armorer being the spy.
Yeah. I mean, they don't say that tonight, but I mean, you know, there's some questionable things that happen there that are kind of like, oh.
And it was discussed at Celebration that the Mandalorian in the title isn't necessarily Din.
Yeah. You know what I think? And so many people are like, oh, it's Bo. And they're like, no, 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 no. I think it's Grogu.
Maybe. Could be Grogu.
I think this is an origin story of how a Yoda-like species becomes the ruler of the Mandalorians for like 800 years or whatever.
I don't think he's going to end up ruling the Mandalorians, at least not in this by the end of the series, maybe someday. I do see it as his origin story. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Bo is the only one who makes sense as the leader of the Mandalorians. She previously had been. She was introduced long before Din or Grogu.
Well,
so giving her that back only makes sense.
Well, I'm saying he's kind of the heir. Well,
eventually.
Yeah.
When he gets older, sure.
Right.
Finally, Sharmeen Obaid Chinoy's film will take place at the furthest end of the Star Wars timeline, moving 15 years beyond Episode 9, Rise of Skywalker. Her film, set in an era described as New Jedi Order, will be all about establishing a bountiful new age of Force users in the wake of the Skywalker saga, and the Jedi building that future. None other than Rey herself, with Daisy Ridley confirmed to return to the role she originated in the sequel trilogy. This is the one I'm the least interested in.
This would only work if she's not the main character, I think.
Perhaps.
You know, if she's the Obi-Wan Kenobi Yoda person training the Jedi, and the young Jedi are the, you know, the story here.
But she's setting up essentially a new Jedi Order.
Yeah.
When are they going to fucking learn? The point of the prequels. A strictly aesthetic, and really essentially the new movies. Yeah. Not so much the new ones. The prequels and the originals. Sequel. The sequels to a point, but this super aesthetic, monastic order doesn't work.
I mean, they really don't go into that as much in the original trilogy, I don't think, but...
But yeah. Definitely, that was the point of the prequels. They were too tight-assed.
Yeah. Right.
So they got destroyed.
They couldn't see what was right in front of their faces, but they were just so arrogant about dealing with stuff.
Thinking about it for a minute, you're right. It is more of a sequel trilogy thing with Ben.
Yeah.
Being super strict and obsessive only fucks things up.
Yeah.
Now, maybe this will be the final evolution and they'll learn. But the whole concept, why not just have a loose amalgamation of, you know, good aligned Force users?
There has to be drama in this somewhere. You can't just have them setting up this utopian society.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be a big bad.
Doesn't make any sense.
You know, there'll definitely be a big bad. I would just love, you know, I'm a lore addict. I would just love the first movie, the one about the first Jedi, to just be a lore dump about how they found the Force and the Kyber crystals and how they figured it all out. There's obviously got to be a big bad involved.
I mean, I think it'd be awesome if it was just like some dude living in a world similar to ours and then suddenly finding out he's got like some sort of powers.
Yeah. And on to this week's movie from 1973, Westworld. I just realized we forgot to talk about our sponsors, so this will be an interesting surprise.
That's true.
Sponsored by Delos. When on-screen barbarism just doesn't do it for you anymore, come to Delos. It's the closest you can get to actual murder without actually going to prison.
I thought you said DOS. Yeah, like, I mean, the computer systems could have... We're almost we'll like they were right on that.
It's 70s sci-fi. Of course, they're still using tape.
Yeah. Also brought to you by theme parks. Killer robots or dinosaurs. Still not as bad as It's a Small World after all.
Nice.
All right, so... We have bored rich people who are taking a journey to an amusement park where there's a bunch of robots to cater to your whims and your fantasies. And, well, if your fantasy is murder, you are in luck here because you could commit murder to your heart's content because they're just robots and you can shoot them over and over and over again. And
Crichton came up with this before video games existed.
Yeah.
Let's just chew on that for a minute.
That is insane if you think about that.
Because I, as someone who on the daily plays an MMO where I am killing digital people, felt pretty fucking called out by this movie.
But... There's a difference between doing it on a video game where things are on a screen and away from you.
And, you know, they can hurt me just as much as I can hurt them.
And doing it in what feels like a real life situation.
Right. But it seems like he looked at violent video games and just took it to the next step.
Yeah.
But he didn't have that middle step.
Didn't exist back then. I think at best there was the two...
There may have been Pong.
Like, bouncing a ball off
I don't
each
even
other.
Think Pong existed yet. I think that was like 78, 79.
I think there were like some real primitive
maybe
games that you could play on your television.
Right.
But other than that, no. Nothing like that. Probably like maybe there was a Duck Hunt game or something he saw and thought of that.
Maybe. I think, Continue with the plot summary and we'll get there.
Right. So this amusement park is divided into three different worlds. There was the Roman world, the medieval world, or of course the one where most of the action takes place, West world here. And so it has all your classic tropes of each of these movies. Medieval one had the palace intrigue. The Roman ones just looked like they had straight up debauchery, but they didn't really show much of that, of course, because he wanted a PG rating probably. And then Westworld, of course, you have the sheriff, you have the gunslingers and the bank robbers, the outlaws, the prostitutes, whatnot. And probably one of the earliest, real West portrayals.
Yeah.
If you think about it, since a lot of like Clint Eastwood movies came before this, but here we have this. The two people that we're following, we have John Blaine, who's been to the park before, played by James Brolin, and Peter Martin, a lawyer from Chicago, who's been recently divorced, and John's bringing him here to kind of cheer him up, to get his mind off his divorce and just get him out of his funk. And of course, he's reluctant.
Young James Brolin without the beard looked frightening, like Christian Bale.
Yeah, he does. And his kid, of course. I mean, and Richard Benjamin in a mustache was very weird.
I had no idea Benjamin was in this one. It was a very nice surprise.
And of course, he had to be reluctant because we had to sympathize with somebody in this. Because he kind of had to be prodded to do the bad things, to kill someone, right, too. And the gunslinger did pick the fight with him, too. So it made his killing not that bad, big a deal.
The gunslinger shows up in a bar at one point, and he's only known as the gunslinger played by the late great Yul Brynner. He's a Terminator. He just keeps coming back.
Right. Pretty much right off the bat, he picks a fight with Peter stories that are underlying here that come up, getting arrested and, breaking out of the jail and all that, just so you can participate in these Western, tropes.
And the conceit is that the guns they're using have a sensor and they won't fire at anything that has an elevated body temperature.
And then you gotta wonder how the medieval world works, where they're mostly using swords and axes. Well, we kind of saw how that worked, because, the robots are... Things start malfunctioning, and they take the view that, it's not that much of a danger. We can just ride this out. We don't need to, the people behind the scenes of the park are arguing whether they should shut things down now or just, try to keep things quiet. But they can see that things are starting to unravel with their machinery. Eventually, the malfunctions just turn into an outright rebellion of the robots. Starting with the snake.
Was difficult to watch as someone who loves snakes.
The snake bites John, and they're like, "Oh, he shouldn't have done that to a guest." And I'm like, "Well, why would you make the capability of the snake to bite?
Why give it the teeth?
The jaw to do it. Have the teeth look nice and,
yeah. Oh, yeah, you get a scene, but like trick knives, like stage knives, where they go back.
But just have them dull, sharp. But so the gunslinger keeps coming back, and that's kind of one of the holes I believe in this. If you were truly at a theme park and you kill like one of the people there, it wouldn't it ruin the illusion to see that same gunslinger the next day? Like, the whole point is that there's some sort of believability to what you're doing.
I figure they repaired and recycled just to save money.
Well, sure, of course, and you want Yul Brynner in the film as much as possible and stuff. But if you were paying the 1,000 a month, which if you think about, or 1,000 a day, which if you think about, even by current
There's a
hotel
lot.
prices, that's a lot of fucking money. That you would expect if you killed the robot, they would keep that robot out of circulation for, or at least that face out of circulation
Maybe, yeah.
until that guest was gone.
But if they were realistic to that point, there'd be no story. So that's one of those, yeah, fair point, but you need a plot.
They'd put different faces on them. But then again, yeah, it's odd because the series did the same thing where the HBO series, where that was kind of the point, that they were keeping their memories of what happened to them. And so the woman that had like re that pretty much repeatedly got raped almost on a daily basis by, the crowd goers finally just snapped and started the rebellion there. Here, the rebellion takes place pretty quickly, because of course the guests are not suspecting until it is way too late, and Peter kind of gets chased around by the gunslinger, and we could say hilarity ensues.
I'm actually going to start this with a question.
Sure.
Because, like I said, I was pretty called out by this. If such a place actually existed and worked as intended, would you want to go?
I don't know. I don't
And you
know.
could afford it, of course.
The funny thing was when they were talking about the accommodations, and realism and stuff, it would be even worse than that, from what I understood of like the Old West and
Oh,
hotels.
yeah.
They shared beds and shit.
I don't understand the desire to want to go back into another time period.
Yeah, I don't think I'd pick the West world out of this.
Well, there's that. I don't want to, especially if someone uses a wheelchair, like living in a previous time period is just not good for me. But I also, as even though I play a fairly violent video game, I don't actually want to, go killing people, even if they're robots. But if you give me a version that's like a heist movie, I'm fucking there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let me
Yeah,
live
something
out
like
the
that.
thief games, and I'm there.
Well, I mean, not to brush the sequels and remakes section, but the future world sounds
Oh,
appealing to me.
okay. I have to see that one.
That's the sequel to this.
I've seen like an episode of the show. I need to go like, actually watch it. I don't know nothing about the sequel.
Yeah, and the show gets weird like in later seasons because they go out into the world. So
Interesting.
it's in the future that they have the technology to do this, and they go out into that future world to show what's going on and how controlled things are
It
on
gets
the
into the
outside
actual
too.
rebellion.
Yeah. Well, the
Interesting.
rebellion leaves the park.
The ad at the beginning of the movie really reminded me of Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yes.
Also liked the line, the sensual and relaxed morality that existed at the height of the Roman Empire. Then you hear when they're on the tram, nothing can go wrong. Obviously, that sets up the rest of the movie.
Yeah, you're a bit heavy-handed with that intro. And the whole thing is about relaxed morality, even the West world, the medieval world.
I just think if you want to actually go to a place like this, you have issues. You need a therapist.
Yeah, and I think they really discuss that a lot more in the series than this,
The
because the
thing,
series is way more violent,
well, because
like.
it's a series, they have more time. But the thing I love about this is nobody actually spells it out.
Right.
It's totally up to interpretation. I mentioned I didn't expect Benjamin. I also didn't expect Dick Van Patten.
Right. The big surprise, I thought, was Majel Barrett.
Yeah, it took me way too long to recognize her.
Was like, holy shit.
It was like her second or third scene. I'm like, wait, is that Majel Barrett? I had to check IMDb.
What happened to Dick Van Patten's character, though?
He really wasn't featured. I guess Van Patten wasn't a thing yet. He wasn't, a lead actor yet. So he was just kind of there in the background in a few scenes.
He kind of had a story, though, where he came in and he winds up becoming the sheriff himself. And most other characters, even minor ones, we see their demise,
Yeah.
but we never see what happened to him as the
That's
sheriff.
true. Huh. It's an
He makes
interesting
that
loose end.
speech that he's there and he's, it's his town now and he's the law, and they kind of laugh at him, and he clumsily goes back inside
I
the
mean,
office, and that's it.
given it was Dick Van Patten playing a Dick Van Patten role, I'm sure he died.
Yeah. Or wait a minute, we saw him in the fight scene, that's right.
Yeah, I'm sure he was killed at some point.
Yeah.
This is not a role I would have expected for Yul Brynner. Obviously, I knew he was in it because he's the face. If you know anything about this movie, you've seen Yul Brynner's face in the ads.
Right.
Not a role I would have expected for him, but he looked amazing.
Yeah.
He could play robotic and menacing beautifully.
Like all the robots, the people acting as robots were really good, I
Yeah.
thought.
I gotta call out the technology, and this was a thing with the 70s and late 60s to a point. Just because they had tape-based mainframes, they thought that like technology would never advance. I understand not understanding, not having an idea of where it's gonna go. That's why I can be a little forgiving of crystals. But just don't say explicitly, yeah, we're gonna still have tape-based mainframes at some distant point in the future where we have, this robot amusement park.
I'm sure there were people, though, that had no idea what computers even were, though. So even to like show them something that was what we were going to advance to, would have gone over their heads. So just using regular computers was probably crazy enough to them as it was. I think there was a person in like the IMDb review that like didn't understand that's what computers were like back then.
Probably quite a bit younger.
Yeah.
Now, at one point, Benjamin's character says that he would rather fight bank robbers than sleep with a sex worker. Is he ace or has he just not hit puberty yet?
I don't know. He was a very strange character. He was very unsure of himself. He ran in a most peculiar way. I'll
Then
just say
again,
that.
like this kind of place does appeal to like little boy kind of mentality.
Yeah.
That it's basically, cowboys and Indians, but with real guns,
Well,
essentially.
he was dazzled by the technology from the beginning. I don't think he was necessarily here for what
Yeah,
James Brolin, who
fair.
had been here already, and this totally was his thing.
That's true. He
Yeah,
was
he was bringing him
avoiding the
here.
guns at first. He was skittish about it.
Yeah. He was kind of like, can I really, I mean, what if it's not him? What if it's not a robot? What am I doing? I kind of think it's almost an analogy of how we treat people who work in the service industry.
This is the beauty of this movie. They never state the thesis.
Right.
So, however you want to interpret it, go for
Because think about it. If you go out to eat or something,
it.
there's people that really take that role seriously of
Oh,
being
yeah.
the customer or the lord, and these are the servants kind of nonsense,
And I've known, and I'm sure we both have known enough people in the service industry to know
Well,
what they think of those
of
people.
course, and worked there myself, so, it's kind of like, yeah, whatever. But there's people that really take that seriously, that their experiences, over anything else. It can't just be a person about it. And I think that's a lot of what this is saying, that people just get into that role too easily. Once that's said, you can do whatever you want.
That is a totally valid interpretation that works with the film.
Yeah.
To me, it seemed like he was talking about violence as entertainment.
Sure.
Like, we
Yeah.
didn't have video games yet. We sure as fuck had violent movies and
Right.
violent sports. And I think he was picturing that on the next level.
Yeah, he's definitely talking about, especially Westerns, because there are so many Western movies where there are just bodies piling up.
Loved seeing the cleanup crew come out in the middle of the night.
Oh yeah, and the series does that too, much like this.
Because it was total like period Western up until then. And suddenly these vans come out in this golf cart and these guys in wrap in bunny suits. It was just a great little twist in the in your perspective. Like, oh yeah, this is science fiction.
One thing the show, the TV show, is missing that this had was the horses on the table.
Yeah.
That was kind of a surprise. Like, whoa! But yeah, I guess horses
Well,
would
yeah.
die or need to be repaired.
Well, because if you're shooting at people on horses, chances are the horse is going to get hit. And,
Yeah.
as we've learned from a lot of Westerns, if you shoot the horse, you take down the rider, you pin the rider.
Yeah.
So the horses are going to get shot. So it's a good thing that they're robots as well. The reference to a disease of machinery caught my attention. I Googled computer viruses weren't invented till 86.
Wow.
So he predicted computer viruses.
He predicted viruses. He realized hands were not easy to do, which is like the
Well,
talk
ask
with
any
AI
artist.
right now, that the hands are the things that they're having difficulty learning.
The reason cartoon characters tend to have four fingers is that five is very, very difficult to draw. But we give Crichton a lot of shit because Jurassic Park,
Yeah.
but he really was a visionary here.
Oh, of course.
Because he wrote and directed this.
And even Jurassic Park, I mean, just the concept of the Jurassic Park is, I mean, considering they're pretty much looking at doing it, you
I
know?
mean, given how visionary he was with this, I'm a little worried.
Like they're talking about, generating creatures from DNA. They're talking about
There's
woolly
already a
mammoth,
mammoth meatball.
meatballs.
There's a meatball made from or grown from mammoth remains.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is given again how visionary this is. Maybe he was onto something with Jurassic Park. Scary. The uprising starts a third of the way into the film, which seems like a while, but it works.
Right. There's three clean acts to this movie. You get the introduction where it's like, oh, this is like this and that's like that. And then you get the debauchery and the malfunction in the second act. And then the third act is just the rebellion, which really is mostly the gunslinger chasing
You mentioned
Peter
the
down.
woman in the female robot in the series who was raped repeatedly. There is
Yes.
a they don't get into that in the movie because it's 73, but there is a very dark scene with a woman chained in the dungeons in medieval world,
Yeah.
a female robot that they were implying that. Loved the phrase snake central mechanisms. I wish I had a band so I could name it that. Wish we would have seen more of medieval world and anything from Roman world.
Yeah, how would that have worked with the swords and the people? I mean, it looks like that's not a concept that they really had down. And what happened to the dude's wife? Was she just off, like, doing her own thing in Roman
I
world,
guess.
while he
Yeah.
was, trying to score with everyone in medieval world?
We went back to medieval world a couple of times, but I don't think we ever saw Roman world.
No, not until the rebellion.
I mean, if I'm gonna phlebotomize it, the guns had a sensor. Maybe the swords were essentially lightsabers, where it was a blade of laser beam essentially that looked like a real sword, and it
No.
would turn off if it was swung at somebody with a higher body temperature.
That's, I mean, then that dude wouldn't have gotten killed.
Well, then something went wrong.
Yeah. And really this it's the rebellion part where it kind of falls off the rails a bit. I had a problem. I mean, as sci-fi, this really is a solid movie, but as an action movie,
Loved the stunt where Brenner goes out the window, the gunslinger.
like the fight scene wasn't bad either, but like a lot of the chase and stuff just didn't make any sense to me. Like, how did Peter know where to go?
I don't know if he knew where to go. He just was running randomly
Yeah.
until he found the technician in the cart who told him the acid thing.
And that's where like the lab would be to get the acid and
Yeah, I
stuff.
don't know how he knew which one was acid, but I'm not gonna nitpick. It's a 73 action movie. I'm not gonna nitpick those little elements. And there's no monologuing. Even though the gunslinger does speak,
Yeah.
he's got a handful of lines. He's largely silent once he really turns into the Terminator.
I was kind of expecting him to say something like, you guys do this shit to us all the time,
I love that they didn't. They assumed the audience was smart enough to
That's true.
have some interpretation of it, even if it, even though we have two different ones, and who knows what Crichton was actually trying to say. I just love that it's that open to interpretation.
The heat sensory thing, the heat vision, really had a lot of kinks to work out there. Sometimes it was so sensitive that he could see his footprints after he'd left. I mean, like they were just bright red still, even though I think he was wearing shoes, so I'm not sure
Yeah.
how his body heat would get to into the.
And it showed his clothing, which was a little inaccurate.
But then when he was lying on the table, like hiding with amongst the robots, that it wouldn't have just jumped out at
Yeah.
the gunslinger that he was right there.
What?
So it was weird.
Even though I'm the one who always nitpicks the science, I'm willing to forget those things if it serves the plot.
Yeah,
If it
and
ups the tension, I'm fine with it. Speaking of the robot vision, this was the first feature film to use digital image processing to pixelate photography to simulate the android's point of view.
just, I mean, kind of shocking even for 2023 that to see the pixelation back then,
Loved the juxtaposition of Benjamin on the horse and the technician in the golf cart.
yeah, and just the whole like save yourself, although you're kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Just this whole there is no getting around him. Like Billy Corgan's gonna get you, and he's pissed. Oh.
I want to see Billy Corgan dressed as a cowboy.
He usually does, though. He wears a lot of cowboy hats and stuff,
Oh,
I
okay.
think.
I've never seen it. I rarely call out the music, oddly enough, in films, but that scratchy string and piano chase music was brilliant.
Oh yeah, where they're like just really like wrenching it up over and over again. And then it goes dead quiet when he gets down into the catacombs.
Loved the pyro stunt where he actually burns the gunslinger.
And of course, fire was the key to get around the heat vision.
Well, yeah, because it equalizes everything. It
Yeah.
basically blows out the heat vision.
He's looking for the source of heat. And so for him to be in the medieval world where there's all these torches.
Right, makes sense. Brenner's final death scene was a bit cheesy.
Yeah. He just kept going. It was kind of ridiculous after a bit. Like, why wouldn't he make sure he was dead after like the first or second time?
No, but his actual final death scene where he
Well,
really
right.
does keel over and flop
Oh,
about on the
yeah.
ground, that was a little iffy.
Fish out of water.
Loved the last shot of Benjamin with the ad.
Yeah, that was a bit heavy-handed at the end, the whole ad, the beginning thing to repeating over and over again.
It's a trope in the 70s, they did that a lot.
Like we already get it at this point, there wasn't anything to like explain before this. You didn't need to
Gotta say, I love how short ending credits used to be.
Oh yeah, because the intro, the opening credits used to be so long, so you had everything there.
Sequels and remakes.
Sequels and remakes.
Westworld was followed by a sequel, Future World, from 76, and a short-lived television series Beyond Westworld in 1980, a television series based on the film debuted in 2016 on HBO. It is no longer on HBO. I just saw an article today saying that they're going to be moving that and a bunch of other series from HBO Max to a free streaming service that Warner Brothers is developing in collaboration with Tubi and Roku.
Yeah, I was going to say I thought it was on Roku, and they just introduced like the new app today, combining HBO and
Oh,
the
Discovery.
Discovery Plus.
I have a Roku. I have the Roku channel, so I'll have to keep an eye, take a look for it. I do want to see the series.
Yeah.
I also would love to see a remake with Bell because of the resemblance to Brolin and Dan Levy in Bit Richard Benjamin's football.
I mean, the show on HBO has, Hopkins, it's got Ed Harris.
But like
I
a full-on remake of the film, largely inspired by the resemblance there, but also I
mean,
think Dan Levy would be amazing in Richard Benjamin's role.
yes.
I was trying to
Just
think who could be the new Benjamin Levy.
my God, that would be perfect.
And obviously Dave Bautista as the Gunslinger.
Oh yeah, very good.
Underbrains?
On the brains.
I fucking love it. I'm going five. It's an easy five.
The first two acts are incredible. Awesome sci-fi, very clumsy second act, but I'm still gonna recommend it because it's, I mean, you gotta see this. For 73 for them to come up with this, I'm giving it four.
And what have we learned?
I wanna get into a bar fight with Dick Van Patten. I wish, he's no longer with us, of course, but that would be, I mean, if you sold me on that, like I could get into a bar fight with Dick Van
With a
Patten,
robot Van
robot
Patten.
Dick Van Patten,
Yeah.
yeah, I'm there.
That one that I need to see the series. And that's it for Westworld. Until next time, 3 weeks from now, because you need the next 2 weeks off,
Sorry.
when we'll be reviewing Fresh Hell on the TV show. This was a short-lived web series starring Brent Spiner. It's on YouTube. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Catch up for the next time we record. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
Thank you.